We're back with Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5
inside of the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
And I know Brian's got a little taste.
I
don't really want to think about West Texas today, but good taste, no doubt. It's a king right here, man. My wife and I argue who's better between George Strait and Garth Brooks. 713-780-3776. George Strait or Garth Brooks? 713-780-3776. Where are you on that, Joe?
I probably lean Garth.
Casual.
He's from Chicago. His country music takes don't count.
That's probably first Garth rock music
that's
album.
That's not true. Okay, look, there's going to be some slander coming my way in this segment, Brian. I can read the text line too, but I don't have to stand for that.
That's where you draw the line. That's fair.
Joe likes Chris Gaines. That's who he's a fan of. Pause, Branham. Never say a man got you hot and bothered. Yeah, I didn't really feel great coming out. That's a valid point, Junkie. Touche.
Like, I would love to just fill every hole.
Yeah, I don't know why you played that. It's a weird time to play that.
He's really good at reading the holes and penetrating through them.
I mean, you guys are the perverts. I just talk ball. If you guys have a double entendre for what they mean, that's on you guys, you perverted guys. Joe, would you mind shopping with my wife? You guys can pumpkin spice this experience.
I don't go shopping.
Eric the buyer says, I'll listen to history podcasts at certain times of the day. Corey, George Strait is the king of country music. Garth Brooks is the king of country entertainment. That's a good way to put that. I've never heard it put that way, but that's not bad, Corey, because I do like Garth. Like, I don't want it to sound like I'm talking poorly of Garth. I just like George better. That's what happens when you talk about all-time greats, and you're like, well, I think this all-time great's better than this all-time great. People think that you hate the other all-time great.
Mm-hmm.
I don't hate. I think Garth is great. Just don't think he's as great as George. Garth Brooks is bad word. George Strait is the GOAT. Anyone who says Garth over George probably deletes all their texts at the end of the day.
No, I do not do that.
I wonder who that was a slight at. I don't get that. Is Garth Brooks?
I think it was me, but I'm on the George side of this.
Yeah, I don't. I feel like that was. I feel like there was a stray there.
That was an argument we got in months ago that I delete a lot, like text conversations after they're over.
Do you really?
Yeah, most of them.
Yeah, I was. Yeah, they were making fun of me because I don't.
I can text random like beat reporters, and realize that the last time I texted them was 8 years ago.
Yeah, no, I delete that when it's done. As soon as that conversation's over, it's deleted.
Garth is a serial killer. There are rumors. Bad Bunny over both Garth and George. Okay, that's a different genre completely, and mostly a different language. I did catch Bad Bunny on SNL, though. Did y'all?
No, I don't watch SNL.
I didn't think it was a great episode, but he was all right.
Yeah, I like Bad Bunny. Why don't you watch SNL?
I don't know. Just never was really a thing for me.
Yeah, I mean, it's not great, but I think I watch it mostly out of habit. My wife put me on it again. I used to watch it before her, and then we watch it together now.
Yeah, my parents didn't watch it, so it's not something that I like watched growing up, so I just never really got into it.
Yeah, they do some stuff all right. I mean, we watch it off the DVR. We don't watch it live. And then you can fast forward through a bunch of stuff. I mean, you can watch SNL in like 40 minutes. It's not bad. George is the better musician, but Garth puts on a better live show. Eric the Buyer. I think that's fair, too. I've never seen Garth live, but I've heard unbelievable things about Garth live. Branham listens to Beethoven Screwed and Chopped. What's wrong with that? I'm from Houston, dude. We do everything screwed and chopped down in the H. Am I wrong for thinking that Shanahan's offense is simple, which leads to seeing success in almost any quarterback?
No. Or specifically Kyle Shanahan?
He's talking about the entire scheme, the entire system.
But
I
no,
think.
Like I mean, like Tua has had some success in it. CJ had some his rookie year, but like it's not like everyone's running it right now. So I don't think it's no. I wouldn't say it's. And if it was that simple, then everyone would do it and have
no,
success.
I think I agree with the texture. I think that his scheme is easier to pick up for quarterbacks than non-Shanahan schemes. They openly talk about this, about how that system makes decisions very easy for quarterbacks. Now, some quarterbacks aren't going to have success in it because they're not going to have success in any offense, right?
That's true.
But I do think it's an easier offense to pick up, especially for like young quarterbacks. But I do think that it might put a governor on your ceiling. That's kind of my thought on it. Like a more complex offense can heighten your ceiling, but it can lower your floor. Whereas the Shanahan offense, it's more I guess, even. Like, okay, your peaks aren't going to be as high. Your valleys aren't going to be as low. You're somewhere kind of in that middle, which, you know, maybe that's why you hadn't won a Super Bowl. But that doesn't feel fair to say either, though, because they were up 28-3 in a Super Bowl. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think no one else is having success with it, really. So I think that it might be simple, but I don't think everyone else is coaching it well.
I mean, McVay has a lot of those principles too. Kevin O'Connell has a lot of those principles too. Like, O'Connell and McVay are closer to Shanahan than, like, you know, Charlie Weiss.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like McVay is his own thing at this point. I know it has principle of it, but I do feel like when I watch those teams play, and maybe it's the quality of quarterback here with Stafford being the guy versus Purdy or Mac Jones or Garoppolo, I just feel like it's a different thing that they're running.
Yeah, they're not an apples to apples comparison. Did you ever listen to that that podcast that The Athletic did? I think it was called Play Callers.
Mm-mm.
I think it was called Play Callers, and they just basically had a bunch of offensive play callers, and they would talk about their schemes and how they would draw up X's and O's. It was awesome. It was so good. It was so insightful. And they talked a lot about how McVay did a lot of the Shanahan stuff with the roster he had in L.A. because the roster dictated it, but it really wasn't what he wanted to do. And then eventually was able to grow out of that into something that, like, is more specific for what he wants to do once they built the roster more for him.
That's what a good offensive coordinator is supposed to do.
I know.
That's exactly what it's supposed to be. And honestly, it probably is he was running more of the 49er Shanahan stuff with Jared Goff. And then as soon as Matt Stafford got there, he's like, oh, like, this is why I got rid of this guy. Because Goff has limitations, like some of the quarterbacks in San Francisco have had, that Matt Stafford just doesn't.
It was, I would highly recommend that. It might be a little, I mean, I don't know how it'd be outdated. Like, it's probably not. I mean, they're talking about, like, 2 years ago, so, like, the roster stuff might be outdated. And what's really interesting, too, is, like, all of that was born from the Washington Commanders whenever Daddy Shanahan was the head coach there. Because you had Shanahan was the OC, McVay was like a quality control assistant, Mike McDaniel was a quality control assistant. There's a few others that I'm just blanking on. Gruden was there, actually. Gruden's brother was there. There's a couple more. But, like, they were all there together, and then, like, all of a sudden they all, you know, become head coaches, offensive coordinators. No, it's really good stuff. And you get some, like, behind-the-scenes stuff on Robert Griffin. Like, that stuff was – like, it's a really good podcast. That's what I listen to in the car.
As of 2024, you have Kyle Shanahan or guys who are head coaches or coordinators. Kyle Shanahan, Sean McVay, Matt LaFleur, Mike McDaniel, Raheem Morris, Bobby Slowick. So this is from last year. Those were all guys who were in Washington at the same time.
Yeah. I think they might have had Slowick on, actually. I know they had Jerod on. Because they kind of like, you know, sat down with, like, Shanahan, McVay, and then they kind of, like, you know, milked it to death and started to get, like, you know, more of the tree and, like, a little bit lesser of coaches. You know what I'm saying? But it's very good. Very good. Eric, how does the Colts GM keep his job with how bad the Richardson miss was? That's a good question, but I think he's a good GM, you know?
It's one of those where your ownership has to trust the process. Like they trust their GM, and I think a lot of people were – I thought Ballard was going to get fired last year after the way the season ended because of the Richardson thing. Honestly, Jeremy makes me wonder if he chose Anthony Richardson. And, like, that's why he didn't get blamed for it.
Yeah, I mean, we wouldn't know, right? We'd be guessing.
Especially at this point.
Or we could provide evidence to, like, support that. I don't get that feel. I think it was a Ballard thing. God. I mean, Lance would know. Send him a text.
Yeah, it feels like that's an Ursay. It just screams Ursay based on everything else they've done. Like, you know, like the quarterbacks they were bringing in, you're going, like, Matt Ryan, Phillip Rivers, like, those are the guys replacing Andrew Luck. And then you go, let's take a guy who's barely played college football. And Anthony Richardson, it just, like, didn't make sense.
I don't know, man. Because, like, I didn't think Anthony Richardson was going to be good. I thought the only chance that he had was if he landed with Shane Steichen. And I could see a lot of the stuff that Shane Steichen wants to do offensively, where that guy is unbelievable at those things, right? Like, he's incredibly athletic. He's got a massive arm. There's a lot of what Anthony Richardson has that Shane Steichen wants in his offense. Mm-hmm. And then Anthony Richardson did that at, like, astronomical levels, right? And then it just didn't work. The accuracy, maybe desire wasn't there. I think that it was a Ballard pick, but again, like we're guessing.
But all, so. And even like it's we're seeing organizations that are being more patient now with people. It's I think it's some good, some bad. We've also seen I think we're seeing two extremes here. We're seeing coaches get fired after a year, but we're also seeing some GMs and coaches get more time to figure things out. Like, I don't know if it's the you draft a quarterback and it doesn't work and you're automatically out of your job kind of a thing. If you can build up the rest of the roster around you, which clearly people feel like Ballard and the Colts had, like they're more likely to keep him in place. And to their credit, it's working for Ballard and Steichen because there was an argument for both those guys to get fired this last offseason.
Yeah. Right now it looks unbelievable for them. Jalen Petrie, two interception game yesterday. Jalen Petrie looks really good. I don't want to overrate the interceptions. Like one of them was on a deflection. One of them was on a terrible, terrible pass by Cooper Rush. Like the pass from Cooper Rush, it was to a running back. I can't remember which one. Like it was behind him at his ankles. Mm-hmm. Like I saw people on the internet. Oh, what a read! What a read by Jalen. No, he took advantage of a terrible, terrible pass. So like I want to say that on one hand. The other hand, though, like Jalen Petrie's playing a high level of football. I didn't love the contract that he got. I still don't know if I do. But he's playing really good defensively. Just want to put that out there. Really good defensively. But let's also not overrate that interception.
Yeah, it's one of the – but it's the first one, the one you're talking about, like it's good instincts. It might be – you know, it's a bad pass, but it's a good ball like to make the jump when he's throwing the ball. I think it's the Derrick Henry. He had to read it there in the moment. He does accomplish that. I like Jalen Petrie, the player. As long as he's not guarding one of the best tight ends in football, I'm all about Jalen Petrie. And that's where I think the contract is overvalued. So I think he deserves his flowers the way he's playing early on in this season. And, I mean, I think MJ Stewart stood out a little bit more for me in this game, even though Petrie had the big splash plays. Like MJ Stewart was in the backfield and making an impact in this game periodically. You saw him in there going after Derrick Henry as well. But Petrie definitely deserves credit for the way he played. But,
yeah.
You know, not everyone deserves an apology. And I think it's just more, it's more clickbait, right? Or like traction bait or whatever you call it. Rage farming, engagement farming.
I think you combined a lot of different things.
I did. But I got there eventually.
I don't think you did. You
engagement
called it,
farming.
You called it rage farming. It's engagement farming.
I said the last thing I said was engagement farming.
I don't think so. I think you said rage farming.
No, I said rage farming, and then I said engagement farming.
Oh, okay. I didn't catch that part.
I got there eventually.
Should we rewind and go to the tape?
I'm pretty confident I got there eventually.
Give me a second.
I don't want to challenge this. It's not worth it.
But –
this isn't worth one of my two challenges.
I think it's
you
more.
Only get two?
That's yeah.
Well, but if you're right on both of them, then we get a third on.
This is Goodell's world. We're just living in it.
Not everyone deserves an apology after one good game. You can recognize the game that they had, and that's what I want to do here as well with Jalen Petrie, that he was very good in this game. He made impactful plays.
Yeah.
But it doesn't just one win doesn't just like wash away everything. I know there's people who want it to, but it's just not the reality. But he was awesome in this game.
Joe, that's really well said.
Thanks.
That's really well said. Because this is kind of the game, though, that he would excel. Like, it's not a good quarterback that can expose you in certain coverages. Like, the Texans are going to be very mindful of who he's lining up against. There's only one receiver that scares you with the Ravens, which Zay Flowers, man, his quickness is insane.
It's impressive.
He's a cat the way that he bounces around out there. That dude's a freak. His quickness is on another level. Like, we have Tank here, and we love Tank. Go Cougs. Zay Flowers might be the shiftiest receiver in the NFL. Shiftiest. I'm not talking point A to point B. I'm not talking about best receiver. I'm talking about one attribute that a receiver possesses. I'm talking about side-to-side movement. Find me somebody that moves better side-to-side than Zay Flowers. I don't think you could do it.
No, he had that one where it was just like a catch over the middle of the field and then just started looking like a cat out there. And he's all over the place.
He's a freak.
Yeah.
That dude is insane. Texas defense against the Baltimore Ravens offense. This is where I thought they would struggle, and they didn't. They held Derrick Henry to 33 yards on 15 carries, just under 2.5 yards per touch. He was getting carries in the fourth quarter when they were down 25. That was weird. But they did a really good job stopping the run game. 44 yards as a team, the Ravens had yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, they keyed in on him, and he hasn't had a very good year this year so far. He hasn't rushed over like 50 yards in his last four games. But the Texans, like they knew that if they were going to lose this game or if Baltimore was going to win this game, it was because Derrick Henry was going to have a throwback performance against him. So they did a really good job keying in on him. I thought the tackling looked better for the most part in this game, which like that's a huge positive as well, because that's something that has been an issue. Even though the defense has been excellent this year, they have not been able to tackle very well.
Yeah, they've kind of like, you know, tried to just deliver the big blows, and you know, the whole wrapping up was an issue after the first three games. That's true. Lesser competition, but absolutely true. What'd you think about Jalen Noel getting Alexander on tilt, doing the Ray Lewis squirrel dance?
Yeah, I mean, I like doing the dance. I think it's funny. It's you should celebrate how you want to celebrate. And frankly, of all the people who'd be upset about it, I also think, why are you freaking out, Jair? Like, you just got there. Like you just got to Baltimore.
I think I like it from both sides. I don't love that Alexander went for the ball. Like, if Alexander had an issue with the dance, like approach him during the dance. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Or as soon as he's done with the dance, going after the ball was kind of a weird move. But I also don't mind. Like, what is? I was trying to think of this today, and I couldn't really think of one. I was trying to think of a celly that is most synonymous with Houston. The only one that I can really come up with was the Ernest Givens electric slide. Like, is there another celly that's synonymous with Houston that I'm just overlooking? 713-780-3776. But the electric slide, Ernest Givens, back in the day, you know, run and shoot Oilers, he would do the electric slide. Like, if another team did the electric slide to show up Ernest Givens and the Oilers, I would love if, like, Chris Dishman just wiped them out. Like, I maybe not wipe him out, but address him, confront him. Like, I would have been okay with that. So I defend Jair Alexander a little. I don't love the timing of him doing it, but I do like the fact that, hey, you're not going to do the Ray Lewis in our backyard. I understand that he hadn't been there that long, but maybe it's his way to get some love from Baltimore fans, and I think it worked. And I also love that Jalen Noel did it. Yeah. I love it so much.
It's. I mean, I'm glad if he's like, I have to have a touchdown celebration. I'm not just going to have a touchdown celebration. I'm going to have the celebration ready to go. There's nothing better you can do. Like, for the Houston, there's no other comp. Like, what are they going to do? Like, the rock and roll celebration?
Yeah. Like, what do they call them? The rock boys?
Yeah, they're going to do the rock boys after a sack. Okay.
Yeah, I love that Noel did it. D-Hop and Will Fuller karate kid celebration? Maybe. Maybe that's the best Texans one.
Well, I mean, Arian always used to do the namaste bow. Yeah,
but I feel like namaste is not that, like, symbolic of one person. Like, it's symbolic with, like, peace and yoga and, like, kind of a crunchy lifestyle. Like, namaste is not very unique.
Well, the only NFL player I've seen do it consistently, though, was Arian.
Right.
My point.
He brought it to the football field. But I think, like, namaste is just a very normal thing in life. You know what I mean? Like, you don't see people walking down. Like, a lot of people do the bow of the namaste. You don't see people doing the Ray Lewis squirrel down, like, in the middle of the road. You know what I mean?
Okay,
like,
fair.
That's very unique. The namaste is not that unique. The ninja sword celly.
Tony Smith.
Yeah. I feel like a lot of people do the ninja sword, though. The guitar playing, rocking out, J.J. Watt, sack salute. A lot of people do the salute.
I mean, Watt used to mock some people. Remember what he did to Zach Mettenberg?
I don't remember Mettenberg's celebration.
Well, no, he didn't have a celebration, but Watt was all up in his feels about Mettenberger taking selfies pregame. And so when he sacked Mettenberger, he did the selfie celebration.
Swearinger's sword pull. I don't really remember Swearinger doing that. But a lot of people are saying Billy White Shoes Johnson. That's a great call with Billy White Shoes. Closest one I can think of is the Arian Foster namaste bow. James Harden cooking. That's not a bad call. James Harden Cook is not a bad call. There's the Bregman thing where he did like the, you know, should have walked me thing.
I mean, if we're going to incorporate baseball here, you hit a late inning home run, you stop, you look, and you point at your watch. You do the Correa.
It was the Correa, it's my time.
Yeah.
More popular than the Bregman, should have given me four.
I think it's more iconic.
I mean, it was a bigger moment for sure.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's more of a bigger moment. For sure. Especially now that he's back on the team. Like, if, like, Aaron Judge whipped that out next year, that would be tough.
Antonio Smith sword celly. Somebody said Swearinger. Maybe they both did it. The helmetless headbutt by Cushing. That was iconic. But that wasn't really a celly. And he only did it that one time.
That's intelligent to only do it one time.
Cushing was a psychopath.
But it was not intelligent to do it the one time. I don't know if we can put intelligence and Cushing in the same sentence here, Joe.
No, it's just, you know. it wouldn't be my recommendation for a celebration.
Reminds me of when T.O. got blindsided for putting the ball on the star in Dallas. That's kind of what it reminded me of too. Like that's what resonated with me as well, Corey. Was like, yeah, you put the ball on the star. Okay, I'm gonna wipe you out. I can totally understand a Baltimore Raven having that mentality with the Ray Lewis dance. I don't mind what Alexander did. I wish you'd have done it during the dance though, as opposed to
yeah,
the ball.
Yeah. Because I think like you're talking about T.O. here, someone hit him like as he got to the star,
yep.
Right?
Yep.
So if someone would have hit, you know, Noel like as he's doing the celebration, I'd be all for that.
Yeah, you don't even need like a hit. Like just go, like, hey, shove him. You know, like getting the ball was the weird move to me there.
It's like I wonder, like in the moment, like it clicked that he could tell he was trying to get the ball back because he gave the ball to the ref, and then I think he realized it was his first touchdown catch.
And
so
it's also
trying to get the ball back.
And it's also Noel, you're talking about probably. It's also weird, like that. That Alexander thought that he had like the jurisdiction on the ball. It's an NFL ball, Jair. Like this isn't you. It's not your ball. You can't take your football and go home with you. It doesn't belong to you. So that part was kind of weird too. 713-780-3776. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Keith, you're in the junkyard with Jeremy and Joe. What's up, Keith?
Hey, first off, you mentioned Jair Alexander. It's not his ball. Well, a ball landed in the stands for that Bills fan, and he technically took it home as if it was his ball. So, but I'm a Ravens fan. Tough loss. You know, we had 42% of the roster, the salary cap. You know, injured, out, unable to play. Do you think the Ravens? You know, maybe they'll probably lose next week against the Rams. 1-5, heading into a bye. Do you think when Lamar gets back from his injury? Do you think the Ravens, you know, still try to win the division, or do you think they potentially tank for, you know, a top five pick? Also, I think now that Lamar's missed the game, is it fair to say that the injury is real, B-Mac? Just want to get you guys' thoughts. Thanks, guys.
Keith's a Ravens fan.
Brian? You want to take that first?
Keith the bandwagon fan with his weirdest fandom ever. Have you ever seen his Twitter profile?
Yeah.
Okay. I'll go ahead and leave it there.
I mean, I think the Ravens are probably heading towards tanking, to be
no
honest.
No chance. What do you mean?
They're not tanking.
Like, no. It's you think absurd. John Harbaugh, who is fighting for his job, is going to roll over and tank when they're the betting favorite to win the AFC North?
Are you just
going to
bench Lamar when he's healthy?
You think he's actually fighting for his job, or is this fan discourse?
I think if he is fighting for his job, it's ridiculous. He's had an unbelievable career there. I don't think he is the issue. I think it'd be tough finding a head coach as good as him. I hope that it's fan discourse for the sake of what is right in football. I wouldn't be wanting to get Harbaugh fired. John Harbaugh, by the way. Plus, I just learned which one's which. Like, I don't want one of them to be out of the league. I want to flex my Harbaugh knowledge.
I can't see there being any chance he's fired after this year.
You know what I think happens is I think that Zach Orr gets one more week. I think they get embarrassed by the Rams, and I think that they fire Orr going into the bye, promote Chuck Pagano, get Lamar back, and win the AFC North. I still think they're going to win the division.
I didn't realize Chuck Pagano was on that staff.
Yeah, I read it today.
Yeah, I mean, if Harbaugh was a free agent, he'd be the most sought-after coach. I mean, there are people getting fired to hire him. Like, you are making waves in your organization if you can have a chance to bring in Harbaugh at this point. So yeah. I would be shocked. I know he hasn't won the Super Bowl, and it's been a couple years. A
lot more than that.
But, like, you look at, like, him and Tomlin, and it's where the grass is not always greener on the other side.
No. Like, no, I wouldn't be moving on.
Like, I hate to use this as an example, but, like, the last time, like the Bears haven't had a 10-win season since they fired Lovie Smith.
If you hated to use it as an example, why'd you use it?
Because it's the best one I have.
Oh.
Like they fired Lovie Smith, and, like, they've been awful since. They've had five or six head coaches since that moment.
Did you wish they kept Lovie Smith?
Because of where they went to, yes, because of what happened next. But it's like that's what – with Harbaugh, like what are you going to replace him with? Like the idea of – like they're trying to like replace him with Chuck Pagano. I'm like, really? Like that's your answer?
No, I think it's foolish. I think it's foolish. I think you – I mean, obviously you owe him the whole season.
Yeah.
If you wanted to move on from Orr, I get that. He hadn't been there that long. You have a guy ready who's done it in the past, who's been very good at it. Like, hey, this is going to be our scapegoat, and we're going to rally. Like, I get that, but not John. All right, 713-780-ESPN. But no, I don't think the Ravens will tank. I think they'll try to win the division, and they're still the betting favorite to win the division. 713-780-3776. Let's get to some of the other NFL stuff. Who had the most impressive win in the NFL for you yesterday? 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
Let's talk about ESPN Bet inside LaBerge in Lake Charles. They got a brand new VIP fan cave sections. Cannot wait to check it out and see what that looks like. We'll be out there October 25th and 26th. They have a new chef, which means they have new menu items. The restaurant part of the sportsbook now is available to all ages, and it's the best place to watch college football, the NFL, UFC fights like this last week, and UFC 320. There at ESPN Bet. I saw a couple videos online. It looked incredible there. They've got barbecue offerings every Friday and Saturday. All of your action you can place on the NFL, NCAA football, MLB playoffs. Even you can go up to 20 leg parlays when you're there at the book. You can earn rewards on every wager when you use your Penn Play card. Highly recommend getting one of those things. It's super easy to register, and there's a lot of great perks that come with it. You can get things like free slot plays as well when you have it. And they offer you a chance to wager on all of the Houston area teams. The keyword there is all of them, because you can't do that everywhere. Must be 21 plus to bet. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700.
ESPN 97.5.
This is Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5
from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
He's Joe. I'm Jeremy. We're Jeremy and Joe. Keith, who just called in, is in my DMs. What does my teams have to do with BMAC saying Lamar is faking an injury? SMH, weak. Saying a two-time MVP, Hall of Fame quarterback, Heisman winner is faking injury, who's now 1-4, missed a game because I rep the Knicks.
I think it's kind of weak to come in at your DMs rather than just come at me.
I agree with Keith, though. You are strawmanning here.
I don't know why Keith is so worked up about this, to be honest. Like, if people take my take seriously, then that's more on them, I think, at this point.
I don't think you have to worry about that.
He's very offended.
I know. Like, I thought it was a nothing comment. Like, we're just having fun, like, throwing a debate on the air, and Keith's got all self-righteous about it.
He's a Ravens fan. How dare you talk about his Lamar Jackson like
Ravens,
that?
Ravens, Giants, Vandy, New York Knicks, that weird fandom.
Yeah, I mean, it goes coast to coast.
It does.
Phantom there. It goes. That is kind of odd. I wonder how he selected all those teams. But he's a big – I mean, if you talked about Case Keenum this way, I mean, we'd be ready to throw down. I'd ask you to step outside, see what we could do about it. Who do you think had the best win in the NFL yesterday, Joe George?
That's a good question. I think
Thanks.
I think I have to say New England.
Yeah,
And there's another really good option, I think, in Denver. But I think New England, I mean, Drake May, he's very impressive with what they're doing. And the fact that they have now Gibson tore his ACL, you've got Ramondre Stevenson, who seriously cannot stop fumbling the football still. Mm-hmm. And they don't use Travion Henderson, really. Mm-mm. But they're finding a way. They're above 500, and it's because Drake May and the way he's playing.
And because Mike Vrabel is a really good coach.
Yeah, see, that's what, like, the Harbaugh thing. That's why no one should want John Harbaugh to get fired, because he's going to go somewhere and take a terrible team and immediately make them good again, just like Vrabel's doing with the Patriots.
I like Vrabel more than Harbaugh.
I think I do too.
Yeah, I'm a fan. I'm a fan of Vrabel. Drake May looks really good. You know, I don't know if they have a ton of juice offensively yet. Maybe Henderson can eventually be that. I hope that he does. That defense is legit. Marcus Jones, go Cougs. Got a captain. He's got a C on his chest. Made an unbelievable interception yesterday. They might be a problem. Like, New England might be a problem. That could be a playoff team by the end of the year. You go into Buffalo and you hand them a loss?
Might be.
Wow. I think they're on the fence.
They're going to be a playoff team this year. Have you seen their schedule? It's a joke. Their next 3 games are the Saints, Titans, and Browns.
Yeah, I go 3-0 there, all of a sudden you're
5-2.
I mean, Browns did win in Green Bay, so I wouldn't say that's a complete.
Dylan Gabriel's quarterback.
Dylan Gabriel didn't look half bad yesterday.
No, he looked okay. But like, their schedule is not hard. I don't think they're going to win the division, but I think the Patriots are going to be a wild card team this year.
Yeah, I mean, they're currently in the playoffs of the season we're in today. They're 3-2. Those are the next 3 games. I mean, they could be 6-2 by the end of that gauntlet. Mm-hmm. I shouldn't have called it a gauntlet. What's the opposite of gauntlet?
Cakewalk?
Yeah, after the end of that cakewalk, they could be 6-2. No, I think they're a problem. They're a problem in the AFC. Now, I don't think they're a dark horse Super Bowl contender or anything like that, but could they upset a really good team in the AFC in the postseason? Mm-hmm. I think so. Let's not forget Vrabel took a really mediocre Titans team, quarterbacked by Ryan Tannehill, to the AFC championship. Let's not forget that. Vrabel's pretty good. You mentioned the Browns game. Vikings beat them 21-17. Did you see Dylan Gabriel and Carson Wentz, the handshake after the game?
With how little Gabriel
yeah,
looks?
I didn't realize this was David versus Goliath.
He's like, tiny.
Gabriel is – I've seen Gabriel play in person. I didn't realize he was that little whenever he stands next to Carson Wentz.
Yeah.
Wentz looked like a giant.
Yeah, and I know I'm 5'6", and so I got what should I be saying?
I think Gabriel's your height.
He looked it in that photo.
Yeah.
He looks tiny. He looks very little.
He didn't look half bad, though. Like, he played okay.
No, they moved at a good pace. And he used both of his tight ends a lot. And, I mean, Junkins, to me, is the real story of that game.
Mm-hmm.
He's very good. I mean, what he's doing with no training camp, with missing, the first two games of the season or the first game of the season only, he's been very impressive for them.
Yeah, he's pretty solid. Their defense is still good. But the way Gabriel played yesterday, like, there was reports, oh, Shedeur Sanders is going to start by the end of the year. If Gabriel played like he played yesterday, which wasn't great, it was just okay, it was solid, why would they bench Gabriel for Shedeur?
No, Gabriel's, if he plays like that the rest of the season, he's the quarterback, and he might be the quarterback going the next season.
I think so. He was okay. You mentioned the Broncos. They overcome a 14-point deficit to beat the Eagles, 21-17, game that had a little bit of controversy. But, yeah, that was a big win, too. Like, I think the Broncos went from, like, above-average team based on perception to, okay, this team is good. Good team in the AFC.
Yeah, I mean, I do come away with that game more concerned about the Eagles, I think, though, to be honest with you. Because you have a game the previous week in which you don't complete a pass in the second half, and then you get outscored 18-0 in the final quarter of this game. The second half Eagles seem like a problem right now.
Didn't they come from behind in a game like 2 weeks ago?
I know, but like just to not complete a pass in half of football and then to give up 18 points in the fourth quarter and lose to the Broncos, that's not a good look.
They didn't give up a pass because they were winning the game, though.
I know.
Or they didn't get a pass because they were winning a game.
I know, but like people in Philadelphia are nervous. They're always nervous.
I watched the 2-minute drive in that game, and that 2-minute drive was one of the laziest, uninspiring 2-minute drives I've seen in a very long time. It was not a very fun 2-minute drive. I was like, oh, okay, here we go. Jalen Hurts, 2-minute drive.
And they were still there. Like, they were still in position.
Yeah.
Until A.J. Brown played defensive back against Devonta Smith. Hail Mary.
I can't really blame him, though. It's a Hail Mary, go get the ball. Like, you don't know who's around you. I mean, he was on there.
Devonta Smith's back. I would hope he knows where Devonta Smith was.
I mean, you're trying to go up to high point of football. Like, you're telling a receiver, hey, all of a sudden, don't go catch a Hail Mary. I feel like that's very critical.
Don't rip it away from your teammate.
I feel like that's way too critical. I feel like it's too critical to me. 713-780-3776. Is that too critical or is that fair?
We're sure Devontae wasn't in the wrong spot?
Well, somebody had to be because they were standing right in front
it's
of
me. It's a Hail Mary. Everybody's going to the same spot.
It's a Hail Mary.
Yeah.
Yeah, I couldn't. I can't blame them there. I'm not that worried about the Eagles. I think they'll be totally fine. I mean, they were up 14 in this game against a team they were saying is pretty good in the AFC, and they could have very easily ran away with it if it weren't for, you know, a play or two. I'm not worried about the Eagles. Colts raided the touchdown zone repeatedly as they beat the Raiders 40-6. Colts are legit. I've been saying it for a while. The Colts are legit. It's sad to say, but the Colts are legit.
And Geno Smith is the worst starting quarterback in the NFL, I think.
That's not true. That's hyperbolic.
That's definitely hyperbolic.
That's so hyperbolic.
I mean, he only has 8 interceptions on the season.
So hyperbolic.
He's awful.
It's okay.
You would take every starting
quarterback
than
worst quarterback
Geno?
In the NFL.
Okay, so he's in front of Jake Browning.
Cam Ward.
Cam Ward won his game.
Dylan Gabriel.
Not because of Cam Ward.
Dylan Gabriel was better this weekend than Geno Smith.
Justin Fields.
Okay, yeah. I don't
like Browning. Bryce Young.
Rattler.
Spencer Rattler.
Hey, Rattler looks good.
Tua. Rattler looks okay. Rattler does not look good. You're speaking in such hyperbolic levels right now. You called Geno Smith the worst quarterback in the NFL,
he's
and Spencer
awful.
Rattler looks good.
He's thrown 8 interceptions this year.
That doesn't mean he's the worst quarterback in the league.
He's giving the ball away like it's candy.
You're straw manning too.
No, I'm not.
How many quarterbacks in the league
Geno's
would you
terrible.
Start?
That's again, not the same thing that you said.
There's at least 5-6 quarterbacks. There's no way you'd start them over Geno Smith.
Are we talking like the planned quarterback or the quarterbacks?
What are
today?
You talking about? Because you made the claim.
Well, like because like I didn't when I said that I didn't include Jake Browning in that because I'm thinking Joe Burrow.
But okay, is he better than Bryce Young?
Barely, I guess. I think it's a small margin.
Yeah, I don't think it's a crazy
margin.
Would
you rather start
Geno
or Rattler? If Caleb gets hurt, you got to start one of them for your Bears.
Geno.
Yeah.
There you go. Not the worst quarterback in the league.
Geno or Tua?
Tua.
Probably Tua.
Yeah, Tua.
I think that one's not that
Geno
close.
Or Fields?
I still like Justin. But
oh, come on. You'd start Geno.
I don't know. It's different. It's kind of, I don't know. Fields is, I don't like Fields either, but he gives you a running dynamic that Geno cannot. Yeah. I'd probably still go Geno. Geno or Rodgers?
Aaron Rodgers?
What other Rodgers is there?
Well, I don't know. That's why I don't know. That's why it's a question. It's Aaron Rodgers.
Quiz Rodgers.
Aaron Rodgers.
He's dink and dunk right now.
It's still Aaron Rodgers.
I would go Geno over Cam. How about Geno over Lawrence? Because you hate Lawrence.
No, I'll go Lawrence.
Okay. All right. Geno over Mahomes. I'm just kidding. Geno or Dart?
Oh, Darts look bad. I forgot about Dart. I'd take Geno.
Geno or J.J. McCarthy?
J.J.
You're nuts.
I like J.J. McCarthy.
They benched J.J. McCarthy for Carson Wentz. If any quarterback had a fake injury, it was J.J. McCarthy. But J.J. McCarthy stayed in the entire game, and then they ruled him out Sunday after the game. Like, they said he had an ankle – he played on an ankle sprain that they ruled him out on the following day.
He's hurt. I'm gonna take the Vikings at their word.
Geno or Cooper Rush?
He's a backup quarterback. That's not fair.
It's a backup. No,
the starter.
I think we've qualified, though, that Geno is not the worst quarterback in the NFL.
Yep.
Definitively.
Oh, man. I like that hyperbolic, though. That was fun. I like hot takes, though.
Thanks.
I'm a big
fan of
hot
I got them for you.
Titans over the Cards. I love the ending of this game.
this game is crazy.
The Titans beat the Cardinals, and all it took was DeMarcado dropping a ball at the goal line. Kyler Murray literally took a snap to the helmet that the doctors thought concussed him, and then the Titans scored a touchdown and a Cam Ward interception.
It's probably going to be the strangest game of the season.
All three of those things. Do you realize the Titans scored a touchdown on a play that Cam Ward threw an interception on, and it wasn't even the strangest play of the game?
I probably watched that play 10 times.
I can't stop. Had the Cardinals in Survivor. Can you imagine going out like that?
I mean, I had the Cardinals minus whatever, and they should have won this game by 30. I mean, I took a bad beat on this one, too. DeMarcado goes into the end zone there. They're up like four possessions.
Yeah, they're up 28-7.
Yes.
He holds onto the ball for half a second.
DeMarcado dropped the ball, which, by the way, how do we not have better rules yet? How do we, like, not NFL rules, but, like, team rules? Like, hey, you're running into the end zone, you run into the middle and spike it. You know what I mean? You run to the goalpost and smash the ball on the goalpost. You find a referee after you cross and hand the ball to him. Why are players still doing this? It is so stupid.
I mean, it's back-to-back weeks, and we'll see at least one more of these, at minimum one more of these this season.
It's so dumb.
I mean, it happened last year in the Texans-Jets game.
Yeah. What's the line on this? How many more drops before the end zone for the rest of the year? One and a half?
Probably. I was going to say 1.5, yeah.
I think I'd take the over.
Run to the pylon and, like, do a fireman, like, dive on it. You know what I mean? Like, drop the ball.
This might be one of those where, like, they need to, like, incorporate rugby rules into the NFL to save the players from themselves. In rugby, you have to put the ball on the ground in the end zone.
Or just here's a better idea to modernize it and make it, like, fun. Run halfway into the end zone and do a Gronk spike. That is a rule for my team. You have to run into the end zone halfway at least and do a Gronk spike. You have to carry the ball into the stands with you and Lambeau leap. It is so dumb that players continue to do this. So dumb. I mean, and the Cardinals are frustrating, man, because, like, you're up multiple possessions this entire game, and you find a way to lose it.
Did you guys see Gannon freak out on the sidelines?
Yeah, jumping on DeMarcado. That was good. He needed to do that. Also, I thought it was very close. Like, I thought he might have crossed the goal line before it actually came out. Like, I guess it was loose. I thought it was very, very close. And then the interception that Cam Ward threw, that the guy then fumbled and the Titans scored. Are we sure that was a catch?
No.
I'm not sure that was a football move, and he didn't survive the ground. Like, I thought it could have been an incompletion.
I was thinking the same thing. I was like, are we sure that that's not – because I guess the Titans would challenge it then?
Every scoring play is reviewable.
Yeah, oh, that's true. Yeah.
And Scott Hansen said it too. I'm like, I think he might be right. Like, he catches the ball, like, leaves his feet, doesn't survive the ground, and the ball pops out. Like, I thought that was very, very close. 713-780-ESPN. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Sean, you're in the junkyard with Jeremy and Joe. What's up?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good. What's going on, man?
So, going back onto the Cardinals, like, honestly, if I'm being real, that was the most depressing collapse I've ever seen from a football team. Like, first DeMarcado dropping the ball. Like, why do we have players doing that? And then, you know, the Cam Ward interception that somehow turned into a touchdown. Like, Arizona? Because I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, it's strange. Everything that's happened with the Cardinals this season, it's not good. They've got – I can't imagine how Cardinals fans are feeling today, because you probably don't feel great about Gannon, even though I think he's a good coach, and I think you agree with me still, Jeremy.
They're just so undisciplined, though.
You don't feel good about Kyler.
No, I don't, Kyler's not a winning quarterback
to
me.
You don't really feel good about Marvin Harrison Jr. right now. Like, even though he's had – like, the first catch of the game yesterday was impressive, going up there, you know, Randy Moss in it there. But he hasn't exploded in the way people thought they were going to.
I feel like they're not taking advantage of him.
I agree. I think it's more of a Kyler problem.
I think it's a Kyler problem, maybe offensive coordinator problem.
So they're fascinating, because like I could see them making a change if this season.
Oh, I could too.
With Gannon, because they're kind of an unstable franchise. Like
shots, explosives. You can run.
They're not like we were talking about the Colts. The Colts are going to ride with Steichen and Ballard, because they clearly organizationally believe in them. I can't imagine they feel that way about Gannon right now.
No, if they go 7-10, I could see them moving on for sure.
Sure.
Do you want to keep that guy around?
Probably not.
I would be annoyed. I'm annoyed with
Buckle
that guy.
Buckle up. We're going to have some fun.
I've never met the guy. I wouldn't want to spend 3 minutes in a room with him.
I probably wouldn't want him as my coach.
Because they have pieces, man. Like, you got – I think Marvin Harrison's actually a little underrated. I think they're misusing him. Like, that dude is massive. Like, he is a massive receiver. He should be Larry Fitzgerald, you know? McBride is a top three tight end in the NFL. Like, their running game right now is kind of mad because of injury.
Yeah, but like, it was fine this weekend. Like, DeMarcado and Michael Carter were fine.
Yeah.
Like, they weren't the problem. I mean, the fumble was the problem, but they rushed for 168 yards in this game. Some guy named Bam Knight had a rushing touchdown.
Is it Bam Knight or Bam McKnight?
Who the f*** is that guy?
Just Bam. It's just Knight.
Casual. You know his real name? His real name is Zonovan.
His real name is Zonovan?
Yeah. I wonder where he got the name Bam.
He probably liked the Flintstones?
Maybe so. Tampa Bay beat the Seahawks. This was a fun game. 38-35, mm-hmm. Thriller. Baker Mayfield is like the most entertaining quarterback in the NFL. Do you see him talking trash to the fans coming out of the field?
Yeah, I did. I love it. I love
that
Baker.
That was so funny.
Everything about Baker I love right now.
Yeah. Did you hear Gronk saying Emeka Egbuka's name?
Mm-hmm.
Emeka Egbegbo.
Play it again.
Emeka Egbegbo.
Where does he get the boo from? Big boo.
He turned it into so many syllables. Egg big boo.
Big boo. Where did he get the boo from?
I don't know. Big boo. He's so dumb. He's so stupid.
And that's a moment I wish had happened like on Inside the NBA. Can you imagine the fun they would have that?
Oh my.
And they still called him out. But
yeah. But
Terry Bradshaw corrected him. More. And Bradshaw's just a dumb.
Big boo.
Big boo.
Yeah, Terry Bradshaw's a guy that a reporter once said you couldn't spell cat if you spotted him the C and the T, and he's having to correct Gronk.
Big boo. But that was a fun game.
Emeka Egbegbo.
He can play, though, man. He's
awesome.
Perfect spot to land. Cowboys hammer the Jets, 37-22.
Aaron Glenn making it the year, too?
I don't know, man. They're so bad. That's such a bad team.
As a defensive coach, and their defense looks worse.
And their defense does look worse. Like, his defenses, Detroit only had one good year, too.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, Nimitz, shout out. Love you. Hopefully he gets more than a year to try to figure it out. But George Pickens looks pretty good. This tandem of CD, Pickens, Ferguson's been really good. Javonte Williams has been a revelation. Like, that offense is legit.
Their offense is... I mean, Dak is throwing it around. What are they going to look like with CD when it gets back? I mean, how good is it going to be?
Electric.
It's – I mean, they You think they have a playoff shot this year?
I don't know. You look at their schedule. Their defense is just so bad.
Yeah. And their defense coordinator is awful.
I mean, they're 2-2-1.
And the NFC is like, there was a number of years where we thought, like, okay, there's like two teams in the NFC and everyone's mid. NFC feels like the better conference this year. So, I mean, look at the NFC West alone. I think it's hard for them to get in as a wild card.
Yeah. Because Washington's probably going to be in there.
Yeah, I think it's going to be tough.
Obviously, Philly.
I think it's going to be tough. I think they're going to be right on the cusp. They'll be like one of the in-the-hunt teams. But it's hard to figure out the wins to get them there. I just pulled up their schedule real quick. Like, they still have the Commanders twice. Like, that's tough. You're home for KC. You're home for the Eagles. You've only played them once.
This stretch of football, Eagles, Chiefs, Lions.
Yeah. You go to Detroit, too. Like, that's – they have a
– within 11 days.
Yeah, that's not. I think they'll be like in the fight, but ultimately, I think they'll fall short.
Yeah, they'll be in the hunt graphic at the end.
Speaking of the Commanders, really nice win for them. You go to LA, you win by 17 over a Chargers team, who like many people think is a dark horse. Now, Chargers have been banged up, but a good win for the Commanders. And then the news here coming out today that a Marion Hampton landed on the IL.
Yep, so, no Najee, no Hampton.
That's rough.
Yeah, they're gonna have a running back problem.
Yeah, and they like to run the ball. So that would be tough. Lions cruised by the Bengals. Since he scored 21 of their 24 points in the fourth quarter.
It was all garbage time.
It's so funny, though.
They're going to make a quarterback change, it sounds like.
Who are they going to bring
open
in,
to it.
Yeah, to who?
Brett Ripien's the other quarterback on the roster.
I do not know this man.
Is he related to that Washington quarterback who led them to the Super Bowl?
It has to be, right? I've never heard that last name before outside of Mark Rippon.
Yeah, is he related to him, I wonder? This Jahmyr Gibbs to David Montgomery stat, though, is crazy. I was looking at this yesterday. Jahmyr Gibbs and David Montgomery have each scored a touchdown in the same game 14 times, which already ties them for the most among running back teammates in the history of the game.
And that's in 2.5 seasons?
Do you know the other? Do you know the tandem?
Oh.
I don't think you would think of it first blush.
Lendell White and CJ?
No.
Okay.
No. Nope. We actually had one of the tandem in studio once.
That's not helping me.
Nope.
Do we have anything to give away?
Nope.
No. Emmitt Smith and Daryl Johnston.
Oh.
I didn't realize Moose got that many goal line carries.
I know. Yeah, which is like, I mean, they also had a long time to play together. Panthers beat the Dolphins 27-24. What an embarrassing loss for the Dolphins. They were up quite a bit in this game, too. And they allowed the terrible Carolina Panthers and Bryce Young to come from behind to win. That's an embarrassing loss.
And who was the running back that went off, the former Cowboy?
Rico Dowdle?
Yeah.
He had like 230
yeah.
total yards.
Yeah, that's
insane.
Yeah, I thought there was an outside shot there was going to be a firing today.
Same. Now, Carolina is 2-0 at home. They don't lose at home. You know, they say that about the Panthers. Carolina is the best home field advantage in the NFL. I think they're stealing signs. And then the Saints beat the Giants 26-14. I was on the wrong side of this game. Your boy Spencer Rattler, top half of the NFL.
Yep, first one of his
quarterback
career.
Position. Got the win there. All right, 713-780-ESPN. The Junkyard, they have some thoughts on the NFL. Who do you think had the most impressive win yesterday in the NFL? We'll get to some college football eventually, too. 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe on ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
This is ESPN 97.5, brought to you by Zadda Jewelers, KFNC, and 97.9 HD2, Mont Bellevue, Houston.